text this morning. One is from Matthew, the New Testament. Another one is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to read the first one and then the second one later. The page numbers from the Pew Bible is 1029 and 1030. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 30. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with a lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. The second scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 and 14. Page number 799. The Lord said to me, "In the days of King Josiah, have you seen that what she did, that faithless one, Israel, how she went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and there played the whore? And then I thought after she has done all this, she will return to me, but she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. She saw that all the adulteries of the faithless one, Israel, I had sent her away with a decree of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, did not fear, but she too went and played the whore. Because she took her whoredom lightly, she polluted the land, committing adultery with a stone and a tree. Yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, declares the Lord. And the Lord said to me, faithless Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever, only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among the foreigners under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless children, declares the Lord, for I am your master. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Amen. Before listening to the sermon, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just read two texts from the Bible because we'll be talking about your commandment today. As we are looking at your commandment with these two texts, would you please help us? Help us open our hearts, not just listening to stories, but your word and your teachings from the Bible. So that we will, if it is necessary, help us to repent of our sins and come close to you. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Book of Romans chapter 3, 23 and 24 starts like this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. And then through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We know this first. It is obvious that we are saved not by works, but by God's grace. we keep the teaching of the law, that we are talking about the Ten Commandments, other things, not to be saved from our sins, but to sanctify us and to glorify the Lord, to express our gratitude in Christ. That's why the Ten Commandments, it plays a significant role in the life of Christians in this world. Now we have come to the seventh commandment, which is really tough. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Like a first to sixth, you know, it's not an easy subject to preach because it's a rated R subject. It's not PG-13. Now, many of us have heard this commandment since we were young, from the pulpit, from our Bible study group meetings. But still we feel very, very uncomfortable when we talk about this particular commandment. Because, you know, it talks about the sin of infidelity and unfaithfulness. And deep inside of our sinful nature, it reveals deep inside of our sinful nature. So we don't want other people to know about our sins. So we don't want to talk about this. The word adultery that we know is not an easy word for Christians. Many times we feel it makes us, the word adultery makes us a sick and disgusting feeling and filthy. But also we know that we are not completely free from this word. The seventh commandment is one of the hardest, or I can say toughest commandments for the contemporary Christians. None of us are free from this particular sin if we read the way Jesus interprets about this law that is from our text. He says, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I'm reading the NIV. Now, as we see, his interpretation of the seventh commandment is very strong. Just looking at a woman lustfully is equal to committing adultery. That's what he said, teaching from our Lord. Now, many people think that the seventh commandment just talking about is talking about only one sin, which is adultery. But it's not. Jesus, he clearly points out that the seventh commandment is more than our physical sin that we commit. But it's all about our hearts, our deep inside inner being. The word adultery includes a wide range of other similar sins, such as infidelity, immorality, prostitution, and child abuse, pornography, homosexuality, or even divorce. So now we're hearing the scope of the seventh commandment, and we feel frustrated. Oh, how can we deal with this commandment? Because we have seen all these things, or personally experienced at least one of these sins. Maybe we are struggling right now with one of these sins today. No matter how many years we've been coming and worshiping Lord and been Christians, no matter how old we are, no one can say, oh, I am free. I'm free from the seventh commandment. Once again, when Jesus read his understanding about adultery, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully, no man can say, I have completely kept this commandment. That's a challenge. The seventh commandment is not welcomed. That's why not welcomed by our modern Christians, even our society. The seventh commandment makes our heart aching. As we know that we are living in a world where we praise the sexually attractive people, We are surrounded and buried by the flood of internet and TV and movies and magazines and books. And sex and immorality are no more classroom subjects, but it became a part of this world, our modern life. It's everywhere. People see and hear and talk about it almost every day. That really bothers us. Don't get me wrong. The word sex is itself is not sin at all. We know that. Sex is a part of God's creation. It is supposed to be good. Yet, we are the ones who polluted or changed the meaning of the word sex in a negative way because of our sins. And whether we are good Christians or not, and every single person, we here we know that something is wrong. Even outside the world, they know that something is wrong with our understanding, our culture of sex in this time. Something is really missing. Then, the seventh commandment comes to us, simply, clearly saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. Maybe you can ask, oh, what does it mean by, what does it mean to us? How can I apply it to my personal life? As we already looked at, there are many topics that we can talk about it regarding the seventh commandment. Someone will talk about marriage and immorality and prostitution and child abuse, pornography, homosexuality, and other things, even divorce. And many people wrote about this particular commandment, but it is nearly impossible to cover all these things today. So today, I would like to talk about only one thing, a simple principle that I have found from this particular commandment, that is relationship. And I will try to bring your attention not to sexuality, but to relationship. Based on my study, I found that first it talks about our relationship as a husband and a wife. The second one is it also teaches us our relationship with our God. And thirdly, it tells us how to maintain our relationship, healthy relationship to the world. First of all, the seventh commandment teaches us how to live together as a husband and a wife. Now we know that marriage is not our idea at all, but God's idea. God started. The Bible teaches us that a marriage is both a physical and spiritual union of a man and a woman. And Genesis 2:24 says, the NIV, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The basic concept from our reading is, from the biblical understanding about marriage, is not just living together, not just staying together, spending time together, but has to be union. Union of a man and woman. In other words, it's not a one-way relationship, but it is a both-way relationship between a husband and a wife. Both a husband and a wife have to do something together to be physically, spiritually united, to become one flesh in their marriage. That is part of teachings from this commandment. The Hebrew word used to use in the Bible for to commit adultery indicates that a man who is either married or unmarried has a sexual relationship with a married woman. That's the original meaning of the term in the Old Testament. Now, we see that the main factor was the woman's status. If a woman belongs to another, no one can have any relationship, sexual relationship with that woman. Why? Because God made a man and woman together as a husband and a wife. We cannot break it. Once we start to do that, we challenge God. That's a serious sin. Therefore, Bible teaches every single man supposed to keep their hands, his hands off from someone else's wife. There are two significant things that we have to remember, learn from the Old Testament people's understanding about adultery. If a man has any sexual relationship with another man's wife, the man violates his neighbor's honor, including God's honor, and also destroys his neighbor's marital relationship. And if that man is already married, he also destroys his marital relationship as well. So it's breaking everything. Breaking God's law, breaking someone else's life, breaking my life. Therefore, adultery is considered as a serious sin in the Old Testament, because it destroys the marital relationship system that God has designed at the beginning of the world to become one flesh. We have to understand that we have to see that the seventh commandment reminds us of our relationship as a husband and a wife in general. We have to think about that. The seventh commandment is not only talking about our physical or relationship, the fidelity, but it is talking about our true and a healthy relationship with our spouses. Make us think today. Maybe we can ask the following questions. Is my marital relationship healthy? In other words, do we really become one flesh in Christ? I am not a professional marriage counselor, and I have been married only in my manuscript, my here, 118 years. Hold on a second. Mistype. 118 years. I'm sorry, Jenny. I guess 18 years. So my knowledge and experience about marriage is short, maybe, and inexperienced compared to most of yours. But my conviction comes from the teaching of the Bible. As a husband, I need to do everything to become spiritually and physically one with my wife. The same is true for my wife. Marriage is both way relationship in Christ. But we all know that it's not easy. It's a hard-working job. The project becoming one flesh in our marriage makes lots of noise in every day. And it could be the most painful experience ever. Maybe some of you think that, oh, that's impossible. But we know that's not impossible. It's possible. Why? One logical answer is like this. I don't think that God just gave us an impossible test for our marriage. Humanly speaking, maybe it's impossible, but it's in God's eyes, it's not impossible. And that's God's original purpose for our marriage. Maybe we will spend the rest of our lives doing our best and to become one flesh with our spouse. That's okay. It's not impossible. We just follow God's direction. We must do every possible effort to make our marriage healthy and happy in Christ. It's not to look at someone else's life, husband and wife. It's not right to compare my husband, my wife with somebody else's. Just look at our wife. My wife, my husband. Probably then we have a question like a practical question. How? How can we make our marriage one and healthy? There are many teachings from the marriage in the Bible, but I believe that Ephesians 5 is one of the best. So I want to read you Ephesians 5:22 and 23. This is what the Bible says. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without a stain or wrinkle, any other blemish, but holy and harmless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. I like Paul's understanding about marriage. Simply says, it is profound mystery in verse 32, Ephesians chapter 5. I believe that it's a mystery for us. I believe that it's a mystery for me that Jenny married me. We can't talk about many things. We just talk about many things about from this particular message. But this is what I found from this text to make our marriage healthy and to become one in flesh. That is the rule of sacrifice and unselfishness from Ephesians chapter 5. In this passage, Paul uses three interesting words: submit, love, and respect. And we sense that it is not possible to submit ourselves or to love, respect our spouses without our humble sacrifice. That is Paul is talking about. We can say that selfishness in our marriage does not work at all. Therefore, in our marriage, we must stop talking about what we want. Rather, we should ask the following questions. What do I have to do for my wife or for my husband? What do I have to give up to make my marriage as one body and flesh? To submit yourself to your husband or your wife, to love your wife, to your husband as your one body. That's our goal from the teaching of the seventh commandment. We need to sacrifice ourselves in many different ways. Give up something for our spouse. In other words, we should not raise our voices to our goals and plans, but we must listen carefully to our spouse. What else can you sacrifice for your spouse? What else can you give up for your husband and wife? I think we should ask that question. Are we still talking about my right, our rights and wants in our marriage? Or are we listening to our husband and wife and my partner? The more we listen to one another, the more our marriage would be healthy and happy. That means we are keeping the teaching from the Ten Commandments. Relationship. The seventh commandment also teaches about our spiritual relationship with God. The uniqueness of the seventh commandment appears even more clearly when we consider that what the Bible says about God's relationship to his own people. In the Bible, our relationship to God is compared to a marriage. That's our text, Jeremiah. Verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. I gave faithless Israel her certificate. I'm reading the NIV, I believe, because I was looking at my Bible, which is NIV. It says, verse 8, I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of her all her adulteries, yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. Verses 8 and 9. Now in the Bible, teaches us that God is a jealousy God. And He takes revenge against other gods when they seek and follow. God does not want to see our divided hearts at all. That we cannot divide our hearts into many things. We're living in a very dangerous world today, as I started today my sermon, because anything can take our hearts away right away from God. Anything that we put first before God can be our idols, can be our things, and it will destroy our relationship with God. Then the Bible categorizes our action, giving our hearts to something else, as adultery. As our marriage should be healthy, our spiritual relationship to God also must be healthy and strong. We should not divide our hearts into many things, but only focusing on Jesus Christ. That's battling. It happens to me every day. Something else, and I have to stop it and bring my heart back to the Lord, and it goes away. 1 second later, bring it back to the Lord. Open the Bible and pray. It's battling. We can ask, where is my Lord Jesus Christ in my life right now? The Bible describes Jesus as a groom and the church as a bride. Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood to protect the church, to save us. And we are the ones who received His love and grace. Then based on the teaching from the Bible, why are we giving our hearts or love or attention to something else? Aren't we the ones, you and I, we are the ones maybe who are committed adultery every day based on the teaching from the seventh commandment? Then listen to what God said to the Israelites. He was not just judging. But Jeremiah, our text, verse 12, God said, return. Faithfulness, Israel, declared the Lord. I will not look on you in anger. What a comforting. For I am merciful, declared the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Return, O faithfulness, children, declared the Lord. For I am your master. Maybe our hearts and faith and lives have been hijacked by something else. We're so busy. Maybe we used to have a strong faith and worshiping God and coming to church faithfully, doing everything for God's kingdom, not anymore. Maybe we feel today, this morning, God is so far away. We pray hours. God is not listening. He never answers my prayer. A million miles away. No, it's not true. Based on our text, we are the ones going. And God is the one who is calling us. Listen to God's calling. And He calls your name, my name, our names. He stretches His arms and He calls our precious names because Jesus Christ died on the cross. We are that important. So return to God. Return to Christ. That is the seventh commandment. The seventh commandment reminds us of God's calling. God is saying, I love you. Therefore, return to Christ. Only Christ, Christ alone. Do not wait. Don't just go far away. But stop there. Come to Christ. And keep our hearts pure and sincere before God. Do not spiritually commit adultery. That is what we learn from this commandment. The last one will be very practical. The seventh commandment also teaches us our relationship to the world. But it tells us how we should live in this world as God's people. When I was a boy, if I made a big mistake, breaking someone else's window or some damage to their houses, playing baseball, doing things like that, people usually ask me the following question: who is your father? Who is your mom? They didn't ask my name. People usually blame the parents when they see the children's misbehaviors. I believe the same is true for us here in this country. And the same is true for us as Christians. People in the world, they love to blame God. When we don't live up to God's teachings, the Bible teaches us that we are the salt and the light of the world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We cannot hide. We are the role models to the world and its people. We are the channel of God's blessing. We are the ones who can share the love of God in Christ. Have you noticed that we are living in a very strange world, that the value of purity and virginity are no more valid? We know that every day people are talking about teen sex and pregnancy and abortion and rape, very uncomfortable subject. I know that it's hard topics that we don't want to hear from the pulpit. That's our reality. We are living in an extremely dangerous world for our children, for our next generation. Our children are exposed to worldly ideas and everything. Then here comes our heavy duty as Christians. God calls through the seventh commandment, we are not perfect. Maybe we're not able to completely change the world, but if we remember when Jesus died for us, if we remember what Jesus says about our job to do in this world, the light, the salt of the world, maybe we can do our job. We can reduce the damage in this world. Jesus clearly says that we are the light and the salt of the world. Remember these phrases. Therefore, as modern Christians, we must be good examples to the world. Our marriage life must be good examples to the world. The people in the world must be challenged by you and me. We should be able to show and teach our younger generation how to love, how to live together as a husband and wife. Whether you are a single or married couple, whether you are struggling with your own marriage or not, whether you are divorced or not, now at this point, we have to remember that we are called to be the light and salt of the world. Therefore, it is our job to continually speak to the world, thou shalt not commit adultery, but come
to Christ. Return to Christ. That is teachings from the seventh commandment. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just look at the seventh commandment, one of the hardest commandments from the Ten Commandments. Whenever we look at this commandment, we are not able to stand. We are not able to look at you because we are the one who are breaking this commandment every day. So Lord, more than anything else, we need you. As God called his people, return. Although we are weak, we are breaking this commandment every day. Lord, we want to come back to you. We want to bring our hearts to you. So help us come back to you. Help us to only looking at our Lord Jesus Christ and live up to your teaching so that the world and people will see you through our lives. Lord, we are going back to home with a burden, heavy, heavy burden in our hearts. But help us to remember your teaching, thou shalt not commit adultery. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.